This is Conor Lennon from UN News. The importance of treating migrants with dignity and respect hasn't changed. UN Migration Agency IOM spokesperson Joel Millman has told UN News, adding that the impact the COVID-19 pandemic is having on migrants, highly represented in the food industry, which is now seeing widespread shutdowns, is a huge concern to the agency.
Look, it affects migrants, of which there are millions of all kinds. We define migrants as workers, as displaced people, as asylum seekers. I mean, it's all kinds of migrants. They are a huge presence across the world for all kinds of reasons. And, of course, they're human beings. They're our neighbors. They're in our families. They're people that our children know from school. They're affected the way all of us are affected by this public health emergency. And we think that the most important message is that the messages that we've always had, to treating people with dignity and with full respect for their human rights, doesn't change under these circumstances. That's the first thing. The second thing, and I see this especially when I travel, is that migrants across Europe, across North America, more and more in South America, Africa, and Asia, have come to dominate certain sectors of the economy. Food preparation, of course, probably the most obvious, care of elderly, hospital workers, janitorial workers, construction workers. All these are more and more becoming industries dominated by foreigners. If the activities that states and cities are encouraging people to stay home and not go to bars, not go to restaurants, not congregate in theaters, you know, sporting events are closed, all these different things, this will have a huge impact on the ability of migrant workers to send money home and earn money that's essential for their families and for the societies that they've left. This is a huge concern of ours. I mean, we obviously don't think that states shouldn't be careful. We don't think that they shouldn't advocate a quarantine where necessary, but we really do know how this is going to impact people whose livings depend on full restaurants. I was in Bilbao, Spain over the weekend. I couldn't believe it. It was like nothing was open. And if you tried to stay outside, you were encouraged to go home. And we could just imagine what this doing for that workforce in that city that depends on tourism, you know, to survive. Something we're talking about quite a lot now.
What measures have been put in place by the countries to protect them? What's the country's responsibility?
No, just same as they are for any issue. I mean, we want people protected against crime. We want people to have access to public health. I mean, we've always said this over the years. Societies are healthier if everybody's healthier. If you have a migrant who could possibly be spreading a contagious disease, you would want that person to have access to your doctors and your examiners and your medical professionals who can tell whether or not this person is in danger to himself or to his neighbors. And that doesn't change. I mean, we worry that this particular pandemic has happened before, is being associated with being something foreign that's come from from travelers or from people that are from far away. We've seen this with AIDS in the decades past, and tuberculosis. We even see that often used all over the world. Countries are always associating migrants with an increase in tuberculosis. So this is something we're used to, and we caution that you feed that fear, and it doesn't just demonize migrants. It puts your own people at risk, because if you are frightening people, say, you know, they are afraid that something bad will happen to them if they go to the hospital, then they'll never get checked. Everyone was worse off when that happened. So we try to caution that this is no different than any other health emergency for the good of society. Everybody in your society, even people from abroad, have to have access to your institutions that are there to protect the public health.
Is the migrant influx from Africa through the Mediterranean decreasing since the pandemic? Are migrants taking alternative routes because of the situation in Europe?
No, it's been decreasing for 2 years. We had quite a lot of activity from South Asia via Turkey into the Mediterranean in recent weeks. But when you're speaking just of Africa, the major routes that link Libya to Italy, Algeria and Morocco to Spain, these numbers have fallen so sharply in the last 2 or 3 years, especially the last 2 years, that we don't see any change in those numbers. We don't see a sudden rise up or down. People aren't less likely to migrate because of this pandemic, and they're not more likely to be running away from Africa because of this pandemic. Nothing in our numbers show that. We've seen a generalized trend of migrant numbers from Africa falling into Europe, and in these recent days, and I admit it's early, we're not seeing any link right now to coronavirus and migration specifically. We do know of cases, and I mentioned this in earlier when we were talking, that Afghanistan, because the Islamic Republic of Iran has been hit so hard by this pandemic that quite a number of Afghans who have been living in Iran, and I'm saying, you know, millions of people for many decades now, it's a very large community, they are starting to return to Afghanistan in really high numbers. I think I saw this morning 9,000 a day at certain border points. And there, IOM is directly involved with the Ministries of Health and the World Health Organization to monitor border flows, to assist where we can. We do it with messaging. We do it with data collection. We do it with all kinds of things that are specific to that emergency at that border crossing. And I suspect we'll do a lot more of that in the days to come, different countries.
Countries such as Colombia and El Salvador have closed their borders to foreigners in Latin America. Is there anything you can tell us about that situation?
Well, closed borders are something that we are very clear on. First of all, countries not only have the right to decide their own border policies, but they have an obligation to their own people and to the greater global community to monitor borders carefully. It's not just a matter of xenophobia or not xenophobia. It's things like terrorism and disease and criminal groups. I mean, we need to know who's crossing. So that's why we've always advocated migration that's safe and it's transparent and it's regular. We think it's good for countries to be able to know who's coming in and have a chance to inspect them. We would say, as a general rule, when you close a border, you have to face the consequence of some people are going to turn to criminal groups to try to circumvent these closed borders, to come in through unofficial ports or unofficial border crossings where they can't be inspected. This is particularly dangerous in a public health emergency, because if you're coming in, sneaking in with the help of a criminal group, nobody is able to check your health conditions or your documents or where you're coming from. The way you can when borders are open and transit is regular. And we understand that this is not a new thing, that the balance of interest between public health and public security and humanitarian gestures and free transit of people in a global economy, this is always in tension. It doesn't start with a pandemic, and it won't end with this one either. But we do caution that there are measures that countries can take. And IOM is happy to be an advisor in any of those member states that seek assistance in finding the best measures that can be consistent with a more available border transit. But in these early days, just don't know what practices are going to work best in which places. So we would like to say that, yes, our member states have an obligation to protect their borders carefully and take very seriously those obligations, and also that the best border security is a transparent border inspection, and that will always be our position, that the ability to see who's coming and to vet them properly is the safest way to control a border.
Are there any special measures taken by IOM to protect migrants from the pandemic?
Well, we had a lot of different things we're doing, and of course, you know, we're in 173 countries. Those are our members. Actually, we're in a lot, even more places, and the situations are never the same in any two places. We've been doing a lot with inspection. Cars coming in and out of Mongolia's capital was an early program we started a few weeks ago. I mentioned what we did in Afghanistan right now with the Iran border. We've raised money. We've done messaging. We're collaborating with partners in every way we can. You know, this has unfolded really in the last few days. And it's a very complex response depending on the location. We stand ready to help in any way we can, and of course we will. We know we're going to have more calls like the ones we've had from member states and seek our advice and our help. And we expect in the days to come, as it becomes clearer what programs are most effective and where we can do the most good, that's probably where we'll be concentrating. But we're really talking about something that's barely a week old, this response, and it's affecting billions of people. So we know that we'll be called on in all these countries to assist. But what the nature of that assistance will be will depend very much on the conditions in those countries.